Good morning and greetings from Sussex. It is great to be here. And we as a council and a congregation in Sussex are keeping you in prayers as you are in this time of searching for a pastor and a time of uncertainty even as a congregation, right? Some of our uncertainties are not just individual. It's good to see so many familiar faces, so many friendly faces, and some that are both friendly and familiar. But it's good to be with you again this morning. I come with my wife, Lisa. We look forward to chatting and getting to know you more after the service as well. As we approach our text this morning, preparing to hear the word of the Lord from John 21, I want you to think of a time of your own personal uncertainty or an upheaval in your life. A time perhaps after a significant negative or maybe even a positive event where you found yourself unsure of what God was doing in your life and what his plans might be. Life, to some extent, was turned upside down. Maybe you just lost a job and you were scared about how God would provide until you landed your next job. Maybe it was a medical diagnosis that brought fear, uncertainty to your life. Maybe it was even a new birth, and while being excited about being parents, there was uncertainty about how God would carry you and give you the wisdom and resources to raise a child. Or maybe, like myself, it was the loss of a child or a spouse, in my case, my wife, Amanda, which brought great uncertainty of how God would lead and get me through that dark time of life. I know that for me, Amanda's cancer diagnosis and subsequent death shook my world and the world of our entire family. You know, one month everything was going great, and then we heard the C word, and 7 months later, God called her home. And I can remember walking around the house saying, how can this be? This isn't my plan. And we can sing, we know how the story ends, we know that all things work together for good, but there's definitely times of life where we talk to God and we say, I don't like your plans. I'm not a fan of what you have in store for me. I remember the shock. How did this happen? What do I do now? Everything again felt upside down and out of place. And in your times of uncertainty, did God feel present? Does God feel present? We sing Christ is enough, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Sometimes it feels like all of his blessings and provisions are just gone, and we can feel robbed and betrayed. I think most of us hate just not knowing. We've had our plans for life, and now they're changed, and we just don't know what's ahead of us. We want God to tell us what the next 30 years are going to bring in detail. Right now. And when our plans get disrupted, we face significant anxiety and angst. What are we going to do? It's too hard to just wait. And I imagine the disciples felt the same way after the crucifixion and resurrection. They had their plans. For 3 years, they thought Christ was going to be king, and they had these grand plans, and Palm Sunday made it all seem all the more certain. Things were going really great. But then in 1 week's time, we had crucifixion. But then he rose again. But with that, we're still not sure what's going on. We saw his resurrection body, but after spending nearly every day with him for the last 3 years, he's not there in the same way, at least physically. We liked our daily communion with God, and now what do? A time of a ton of questions must have been swirling around in their minds, and that Jesus was not there to ask the questions to. They didn't have a great commission yet. They weren't sure what their mission was. All Jesus really did was tell them to go to Galilee. Can you imagine what was on their minds? What just happened? We thought he was going to be a great king, great teacher, and we were going to be his right-hand people. What do we do now? And where is he anyway? Everything is upside down. With this in mind, let us approach the word of God in John 21, verses 1 through 19. I believe the words may be on the screen, but I also welcome you to turn to the passage in either your pew Bibles or your Bible app. And as we open the scriptures, try to place yourself in the boat with the disciples, with the mindset they must have been in. Imagine yourselves missing Christ's communion. Feel the rocking of the waves, feel the breeze over the water, and the cold, misty air. And the wondering and conversation that must have been occurring that night about what now. Let us read now from John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish in it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew he was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this passage, we see Jesus appear to God, to the disciples, sorry, in their 40 days of uncertainty. As we consider this passage, let's make a few observations about the disciples and see how God enters into our lives. First of all, let us consider what we might learn from what the disciples did in these 40 days. The first thing we observe is that they seem to stick together, remaining in fellowship with each other. We find here this morning at least 7 of them together of the remaining 11. In spite of being a somewhat eclectic group, and in spite of the differences that often brought conflict during Jesus' ministry, they stayed together. When they could have split up and gone back into their individual homes, they all went to Galilee. Unfortunately, at times when our faith is shaken, we can avoid church and fellowship. As Lisa and I lead Grief Share, we'll at times have people come through that talk about them not wanting to go back to church. Maybe they just feel abandoned by God and don't want to be there. They feel exhausted about picking up the pieces of their lives. Maybe they just don't want to answer the questions or face the people that are there. Sometimes it's much easier to come to church when we're celebrating God, but when he's absent or things seem uncertain, we stay away. But let's learn from the disciples who stayed in fellowship. And as Hebrews tells us, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. Why? Because it is especially at these times when we're hurting, when we're uncertain, that we need the fellowship of believers. We need those to come around us and say, hey, Christ is still there. We know how the story ends, and we are with you to help carry you through. Because it is at these times, especially the times of uncertainty, when we need to be together. These are the times we need community to encourage each other, to build each other up, to have our questions about God and for God answered in a body, not individually. We need each other to testify about the times that God has carried them through their times of uncertainty in order to get through our own. And think about the disciples as they sat there, the seven of them in the boat. Imagine the conversations they must have had. One of the disciples, being discouraged, started, you know, maybe we should all just go home. We spent 3 years following this Jesus, assuming he was going to establish a great kingdom here and overthrow the Romans, and that we would have this huge part in his plan. But now what? We haven't even seen him for days. Is he ever coming? Were we just hallucinating in our grief and he's not even alive? And even if he is alive, what are we supposed to do now? These same thoughts of uncertainty must have been plaguing their own minds that night. And maybe it was Thomas that replied, you know, listen, I stuck my hand in his side. That was real. He is risen. I don't know how or what comes next, but we need to just wait here together. Remember the other times we weren't sure what was going on? When we couldn't cast out demons, but Jesus continued to teach us? Remember when I doubted he was alive, but he showed himself, specifically calling out to me? He stuck with us through all of our questions and confusions. Let's wait here, like he said. And I can imagine these back and forths between the disciples, some doubting, some needing encouragement, other ones encouraging, all through that night. And maybe it's all the chatter and noise that is the reason they didn't catch any fish, right? We all tell our kids when we take them out fishing, shh, right? But for whatever reason, the disciples were together, encouraging each other, and we need to do the same. Secondly, we see the disciples living faithfully during their times of uncertainty. They obeyed what God had instructed them to do, went to Galilee, and simply waited, but also went about their daily life. When they could have just found a room and hung out there, wondering what's going on, they went fishing to prepare for themselves, to make their own provisions for life. It might have been easy for them to give up on life, but they continued to remain faithful. Isn't it easy to get discouraged in the waiting and to think that we only need to obey God when he gives us those plans and we know what the big things in life we're supposed to do? Like if God says, hey, I want you to be a missionary somewhere, well, that's a big thing we'll obey. But sometimes God tells us just to get up today and go about your business. And that's what the disciples were facing this night as they were in the boat. This is another area where the community of believers is important because they can remind us and come alongside us and help us get through the day-to-day of life. Reminding us that God has shown up and is encouraging us to live in difficulty as we patiently wait for his bigger plan. And while we make these observations about what the disciples did, let us not forget what God did as well. Because you see, when the disciples maybe didn't even expect it, God showed up during that time of uncertainty. In this passage, Jesus appears on shore, and at first they don't even recognize him. but he did come to the disciples. After days potentially of wondering on and off where Jesus was, there he was. I wonder how long he just watched them from the shore, lovingly, with deep compassion in his heart, before he finally said, and friends, and called out to them. Commenters differ on why it took so long for the disciples to recognize Jesus, that teacher they just spent 3 years with. You know, maybe it was the distance from shore, maybe there was a strong morning mist, maybe his post-resurrection appearance changed. Maybe it's they just really stopped expecting him to show up. And I have found the same things in my own life. When God shows up on unexpected times, and sometimes I don't recognize his work in the moment, and I don't see his hand in my life until it becomes clear over time. And I expect that that is true for many of us, and we can also testify to those times. When we were going through the hardest times of life, God showed up in big and small ways, sometimes very unexpected ways, sometimes big and directly. Often he shows up through those around us. But he does show up, calling out to us like he called out to the disciples, come to me. And what we do know is that God is never absent and that he does come to us in his time and in the place of his choosing. And may we hear his voice and see his presence when he does. But not only does God show up, we see him provide in this passage for the disciples. He had a meal cooked on shore. As I read this, that struck me. He had them catch fish, 153 of them, but he already had a fish and loaves on shore for them. That also gave me some indication that Jesus might have been there a little while again, watching those disciples, watching them go about their business with love and compassion. Where did the fish and bread come from? Of course, Jesus could do that miraculously, but there they were, a daily or just breakfast for the disciples. Did the disciples wonder where they came from? Or did they just remember the feeding of the 5,000 and the loaves of fishes that were miraculously spread then? They must have been reminded of God's loving provision. Again, we don't know. But God had that there for them, just breakfast. And not only did he prepare it, but the scripture shows us that the risen Lord served it. He didn't say, here's some bread, go get it. He served the bread to his disciples. And again, in our difficult times of life, doesn't God often do that? Come with our daily bread, our provision, gets us through just one day. Again, we'll tell those who are grieving, just get through today. Don't worry about next year, get through today. In our times of certainty, God also provides. He provides through communities that give meals. He provides unexpected gifts sometimes that help pay that imminent bill that just yesterday we were praying about because we didn't know where it would come from. For those who are looking for God's blessings, they are there all around us. But we must remember they're often there just enough, just breakfast. However, we also see in this passage God providing in abundance. In their times of uncertainty, after a whole night of fruitless fishing, there was 153 large fish in the net. Why 153? We don't know. But it was sure a provision in abundance. After a discouraging night of fishing, there it was. We see God's provision in this chapter both again in the day-to-day as well as an extreme blessing. And for those who have been through difficult times, again, we can testify how much God does provide for us when we look for his provision and see his provision in all the little things that come about in life. We also see in this passage that God restores, and we see that in his conversation with Peter. Part of Peter's uncertainty and doubt on that night must still have been his denial of Christ right before the crucifixion. Three times saying, I don't even know him. Imagine their guilt and their regret. Again, something as we do our grief ministry, people come to us with regrets. And I imagine Peter had those same types of regrets. I wish I didn't deny him. I wish I dot, dot, dot. And yet Jesus comes and restores him lovingly. I see him as the rest of the disciples having breakfast, put his arm around Peter and kind of pull him aside to have this little sidebar conversation, gently reminding him of his denial, right? Because we don't forget that. But then also restating him as an apostle, tend my sheep, feed my lambs, and follow me. Of course, Peter may still have been wondering what was next, but I think there was great relief for Peter as he remembered, right, all is good now with Jesus, right? He's called me back. He put his arm around me. He loves me in spite of everything I've done that might have caused such doubt in my own life. It is so loving the way Jesus restored Peter in that time. And we can be confident that when we stumble, and if it is our stumbles that are causing a period of doubt and uncertainty, that God will restore us as well. I know that, again, we have all faced times, challenging and uncertain times, many of us right now, dealing with illness or things that are going on in our lives, and we're unsure where God is. But we can be confident that as we remain in fellowship, as we continue to just faithfully follow him, God will show up. God will provide for us. And God will restore us. Right? And we know the end of the story. Because as we see in his strength, continuing in our community together and navigating our lives as best we can ensure that God is always with us. As we leave today and we go about our week and our afternoon, one of the things I would encourage each of you to do as you sit around your family tables, as you fellowship with one another, is spend time as a family or a family of God talking about how God has shown up in your life, how he has provided and restored you. Kids, ask your parents. Parents, grandparents, tell your kids about those times, because it is through those testimonies that we can all get strength when we encounter our own difficult times. And also look for a time through this week where you can share God's provision with somebody outside the church who might also be going through the uncertain time. You can put your arm around them in a similar way as Jesus put his arm around Peter and says, you know what, I know it's a difficult time, but I know a God that showed up for me. I know a God that provided for me. I know a God that restored me, and he can restore you as well. Because that is the testimony each of us lives in our own uncertain and difficult lives. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you for always being with us. I thank you that you walk with us when our faith is strong and things are going well in life. And I thank you especially that you walk with us when our faith is shaken and we don't know what's up or what's down. We don't know where things are going to go, where our daily bread will come from. I thank you even when we doubt you, that you are with us. And I pray that you help us to continue to look for your provision, look for your blessing, look for your presence in our lives, that we will see it in the small and big ways that you provide. And I pray especially that as a community of believers and a community of faith, you help us to point each other in this body and point those around us who don't know you to a God who loves us so much that he comes to us in the morning mist. In Jesus' name, amen.